rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace, through his blood of the cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death, to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it.
Thanks, Liza. Hi, everyone. Great to see you again this week. It's good to be back. I've been away this weekend at the morning church, weekend away. It's kind of like youth camp, except for old people and little kids as well. And it's been a great time, just down at the Tops Conference Centre. And I only got back about 3 o'clock. So if it feels like I'm phasing in and out a bit, that's why, because I've been there all weekend. But it's great to be here with you, especially to look at this fantastic passage from Colossians. I don't know how much you could take in because there's a lot of meaty stuff there, but I think this is one of my favourite passages in the whole Bible, this one, because of what it tells us about Jesus. See, I want to ask you this question. Can we just go forward? I think we're stuck. Something's not working. Is Jesus enough? That's the question. Is Jesus enough? So imagine you're at this situation. You're at school and a friend at school goes to another church. And they come up to you and they tell you about their church. And this is the kind of thing that happens there. If you went to this church, it's a place that really emphasises kind of having a kind of experience of the presence of God. And maybe if you went to this church, the band would be really pumping and the music would be turned up really loud. There might be lights that are flashing. There would be... there's no windows in this church to remind you of reality outside, so it's totally closed in so that you're not distracted by anything outside. And there's a worship leader out the front, and he's really whipping up the crowd, and people are swaying, and people have got their eyes shut, and maybe some people are speaking in tongues, that's kind of babbling on in a language that no one else understands, and people... at the end, they go home pumped and they say, I really felt the presence of God tonight. I felt close to God through all that music and all that experience that I had there. And they say, how are things for you in your Christian life? Do you know that experience? And you say, well, it doesn't quite happen at youth church quite like that. You know, the music's pretty good and we hear a sermon every week and we go away and try and do what God tells us to do. And we keep talking about Jesus and how he's forgiven our sins and how we can be forgiven and follow him. And they say to you, but that's boring, isn't it? What you really need is this spiritual experience. You need to get close to God. You need to feel him, not just know him and follow him. And you might think, well, is Jesus enough? Am I missing out on something here? Is Jesus and the experience that I have, namely, I know him, I trust him, I love his people, I obey him, I'm comforted by him, I'm challenged by him, is that not enough? Is Jesus enough? Well, the book of Colossians is written to people who are facing this kind of problem. We saw a bit of it in the video, didn't we? The danger to turn away from Jesus by thinking that Jesus is not enough. Maybe there's some experience you can have to add on to Jesus, kind of step up to the next level of Christian maturity. Or maybe there's some laws or rules that you've got to follow. And if you follow these rules, then you'll be a really super spiritual Christian. That's what it really means to get serious about being Christian. Let's have a couple of look at a couple of verses from later on. We'll probably come to these over the next few weeks, but just to give you a sneak preview, Colossians chapter 2. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition and on the elemental forces of the world and not based on Christ. There is a danger that there are ways of thinking and there are principles of the world of what makes for something that's exciting that's not based on Christ. He says, watch out that you don't get sucked in by that kind of thinking. Well, this one, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink or in the matter of a religious festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, some religious ritual or some kind of laws about what you, you know, don't eat meat or don't eat pork or don't eat meat during Lent or something like that. Don't let anyone judge you by these things. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. It's about Jesus, not about rules and laws. Well, this last one, let no one disqualify you, saying that, you know, you're not good enough for Christ, by insisting on ascetic practices. That means that you don't enjoy yourself, that you've got to be kind of, you know, don't have any fun at all. You've got to kind of sit quietly and not enjoy yourself. And the worship of angels, claiming access to a visionary realm and inflated without cause by his unspiritual mind. It sounds spiritual. It looks spiritual. It feels spiritual to some people, but the Bible says it's not spiritual. It's an unspiritual mind, and doesn't, because this person doesn't hold onto the head, namely Jesus. So here is the problem in Colossians. They're being tempted to move away from Jesus or to add something onto Jesus. And so we come back to our question, is Jesus enough? And that's the question that this passage that we've just read answers for us. And we've got this amazing section here about how great Jesus is. And what we'll see here is that Jesus is so great that it is impossible to add anything onto him. If you've got Jesus, then you've got all of God. If you're right with God through Jesus, you can't be any closer to God than you already are. You've got it all. Here's, I put up the whole lot here for you, and we're going to try and rip through it, and we'll just go through phrase by phrase, and I'll just say a few things about it, because it's hard to take it all in. There's a lot of big ideas here. Some people think this was a poem or a hymn or a creed or something like that that was floating around, and maybe Paul included it. That's why it's kind of in verse. Maybe something that people could memorize to remind them of who Jesus is. But and a lot of people think of Jesus, maybe you think of, you know, the son of a carpenter from Nazareth, the human Jesus, and he was. But he was also the eternal Son of God. And this is what it says about him. He's the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God is like, you look at the spitting image of God, Jesus. Second thing we see, I don't know what happened to the firstborn over all creation on my slides. But anyway, he's also the firstborn over all creation. In a royal family, the firstborn is the heir of the kingdom. That's what it means to be the firstborn here. And Jesus is the heir of what? All creation. Everything that there is. Everything little, everything big, everything out in the furthest galaxies of the universe. Jesus is the firstborn over all of it. God is giving everything to Jesus for him to rule over. That's pretty big, isn't it? Why? Well, because the next one, verse 16, everything was created by him. God, the Father, made everything through Jesus, the Son. And so in that sense, it was by him. And that's everything includes everything up in heaven, everything down on earth, everything that's visible or invisible, every power, authority that there is out there. Jesus made it all. There's nothing that Jesus didn't make. And look what it says in the last highlighted line there. All things have been created through him and for him. Everything's been created for Jesus. The galaxies that are out there, further away than we can even imagine, are all there for Jesus. That's why God made everything. The rivers, the mountains, the sea. Why is it there? For Jesus. The animals, people, you, me. Why are we here? For Jesus. What an amazing thing. You want to know what the meaning of your life is? What the purpose of your life? Why you're here? God says the reason you are here, the reason that you have been made, is to be for Jesus. That's why when we take off the youth church things, our banner says, all for Christ Jesus. Because that's why we exist. All for Christ Jesus. Next bit, he is before all things. See, Jesus existed even before the world was made. That means when you think about Jesus, if you think God and the world that God has made, which part is Jesus part of? He's not part of the world that was made, is he? He's part of the God equation. He was before all things were made. He existed. He is God, the Son. And in him, all things hold together. The whole world just continues because of Jesus, and without him, it'll all fall apart. He's also the head of the body, the church. Not only is he the Lord, the ruler, the owner of this world, but also of the world to come, of the people of God who are going to inhabit the world to come, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. He is the first one to be raised from the dead and is going to take his place in the new world, in heaven, that God is creating in the future. Jesus is Lord not just of this world, but of the world to come. And it's all summed up in the next line. So that he might come to have first place in everything. There is nothing, there is no one that Jesus is not Lord over. He is first, prominent, number one over anything, over everything. It's pretty hard to say anything bigger about someone than what's said here, isn't it? Like I can, say how great Cameron Hislop is, especially since he's come back and sitting up the back today. But I could never, even if I talked him up as high as I could, he was never going to get close to Jesus. Jesus is God. He's Lord of the universe. Everything exists for him. He is supreme over all. There's no person, no object, no anything at all. And what's really amazing is that you and I can actually know this Lord, and he can be your Lord personally. And you can know that he died for you. You see, if you are with Jesus, if you are connected to him, if he is your Lord, then nothing and no one can touch you. Do you see that? Because he is the ultimate power. But not only is he supreme over all, he's also sufficient. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. There's no more of God than what you get in Jesus. All the fullness of God is in Jesus. You don't go and find more of God out in nature. You don't find more of God swaying with the music. You don't find more of God deep down inside you. All of the fullness of God comes to us in Jesus Christ. You can't get better than that. And through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on heaven or on earth or in heaven. This verse is a little bit tricky. How did God in Jesus reconcile all things, everything to himself? Because not everyone is a Christian. Not everyone is. Some people are still enemies of God, not reconciled to be friends of God. I think this is talking in a different way. You see, before Jesus died, things were very much out of kilter in the world, because after men and women sinned through Adam and Eve, there were spiritual forces had kind of in some ways won, because they were running riot in the world because Jesus wasn't Lord. He hadn't yet conquered sin and death. But when he died on the cross, and then he was raised from the dead to sit at the right hand of God and rule the world, well, God was putting all things back to the right way that they should be, where his Son is in charge, and where people can now come and into his kingdom and be forgiven and be part of him. So to sum up, Christ is supreme over all, and he is sufficient for all because he's died. and he's been raised to rule forever. You can't get bigger or better than Jesus. You see, some famous people, I don't know if you've ever met a famous person. I live next door to a kind of semi-famous person, Michael Ennis. Does anyone know who he is? Thank you. A few blokes do. He used to play for the Sharks, and he was playing for them when they won the grand final. And so when they won the grand final, people were always driving past my place, blowing their horns because they knew that Michael Ennis lives next door to me. Actually, I think that's why he moved there, because I live there and he wanted to live next door to me. But that's a joke, by the way, for those who might be able to catch on to that joke, I don't know. Anyway, he lives, but you know what? When you meet a famous person, you see them on TV, you see them doing things on the football field, but when you see them playing with their kids in the front yard, guess what? They're just a normal person. And the more that you know someone, even if they're really famous, the smaller they get. You know, a famous person, the Prime Minister, the Queen has to have a shower at night because she sweats. Okay? She has to use the toilet. Right? You might think, you know, oh, I don't think of the Queen doing that, but she's a normal person. But the more you look at Jesus, it goes the other way. The more you look at Jesus, the bigger he gets. The more you think about him, the more you look into him, he just gets bigger and bigger and better all the time. And that's what this passage gives us a little glimpse into. So, what does all this mean for us? Well, the passage goes on in the next few verses to tell us what it meant for the Colossians. And we get their story. Once, you people, you Colossians, were enemies of God. You were alienated, hostile in your minds because of your evil actions. God was angry with you. You were cut off from him. But now that you've trusted in Jesus, you who are enemies have been reconciled to God. You've become friends with God. How? By his physical body through his death. You've been forgiven for your sins. Jesus died in your place. And when you trust him, when you turn to him and trust him, then you are forgiven. And he did this to present you holy, faultless and blameless before him. Even though you're guilty, Jesus washes away all your sins so that you can stand before him perfect, holy, faultless, blameless before God. No longer an enemy of God, no longer condemned by God, no longer God angry with you, but a friend of God. Forgiven by God, and God being the recipient of God's incredible love and grace and mercy to be poured out on you for all eternity. What a change. But there's a condition. If you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. Last week we talked about this gospel. This is the gospel about Jesus. If you move on from Jesus, he's saying, well, you're moving on from the only way that you can be saved. If you think that Jesus is not enough and you need to trust in something else, well, then you're in serious danger of not being right with God anymore, because you're turning away from the one in whom all the fullness of God is dwelling. And you're kicking sand in God's face and you're saying, God, you're not good enough for me. Your gospel is not enough. You see, what this tells us is that if you trust in Jesus, then you are completely saved. You are completely right with God. There's not something else you have to do to add on to it. And you can't be any more close to God than what you already are. Isn't that great news? You don't have to go and climb a mountain to get close to God. You don't have to have some spiritual experience that someone else might have had to be close to God. If you trust in Jesus, you have everything. And so, what about, I asked at the beginning about, you know, that situation, you're at school and someone says to you, you know, you're missing out. Can you see that this passage is saying, if your trust is in Jesus, you're missing out on nothing. You have it all. So, when your friend who has been influenced by that kind of, what I think is a worldly charismatic thinking, you know, that feelings are everything. If someone comes to you and says, you don't feel enough, you don't have the same experience as me, what can you say to them? You can say, I don't need that. I've got all of God in Jesus Christ. My faith is in Jesus, the Lord of the universe, and his death for me, not some temporary feeling that you might have on a Sunday night, or that we might conjure up with drums and lights. Don't put your faith in feelings. Keep it firmly in Jesus. Feelings will come from that. But feelings are not the way that tell you whether you're close to God or not. It's whether you trust in Jesus. Or when someone comes to you and say, hey, it's great you're a Christian, but have you been properly baptized? I mean, you were just baptized as a baby when your parents poured a little bit of water over your head. What you really need is to go down to the beach and be baptized by full immersion. Then you'll be seriously right with God. No. You're right with God because of faith in Jesus, not because whether you've been dunked partially, you know, or fully, or by someone, or at the beach, or up here in the front, or out in the pool, or anywhere else. That has got absolutely nothing to do with how close you are to God or whether you're pleasing to him. Don't let anyone tell you that it has. Our faith is in Jesus and he saves us. You have no more of God to be had than what he's already given you in his precious son. Or if someone says to you, hey, it's great you're a Christian, but if you want to grow spiritually, then you've got to start denying yourself some physical pleasures. You've got to stop eating meat. You know, or you've got to start getting up at 3 a.m. and start really getting disciplined about stuff. Start fasting, maybe. You know, spend a couple of days not eating just so that you can really focus on prayer. Now, that might be a good thing to do. I'm not knocking that as something you might want to do. But if someone says you've got to do that if you want to be really spiritual, then you know that that's a voice that's coming to you from an evil place. Because the message of God is, I've given you everything in my son. You don't need to do anything else except trust in him. Jesus is supreme, the Lord of creation, in this world and the world to come. Jesus is sufficient, all of God's fullness lived in him. And he has died to reconcile us completely to God. You can't be any more Christian or any more closer to God than you already are if Jesus is your Lord. So don't be captured by anyone who says otherwise, who pretends that you can somehow or other add to your Christian acceptance by God, that somehow or other you've got to step up to the next level of spiritual experience. And don't ever, ever feel second class or like you're missing out on something. If you have Jesus, the Lord and Saviour of the universe, what more could you have? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've given us the Lord Jesus, that your eternal Son came into our world and revealed you fully to us, that all your fullness dwelt in him, that he was the one who died for us and paid completely for our sins. Lord, we thank you that when we trust him, we are completely saved for all eternity. Lord, we pray that we might not be sucked in by the kind of teachings that tell us that there's something more that we can have, that we're missing out if we have Jesus only. Lord, we thank you that you've been so, so generous to us, and please forgive us for the times when we feel that there must be more. Lord, we pray that you would help us, each person here, to know Jesus, to trust him, and to keep trusting him, and to keep knowing that in him we have everything. And we ask it in his precious name. Amen.